and Chris, and this is my Writing Table podcast, where we talk to authors and other creatives about the writing world and what it takes to create the books that we love to read. Ready? Pull up a chair and let's begin. Fanny Paul is a painter, curator, and writer. She's the senior curator and co-founder with her late husband, Buzz Alexander, of the Exhibitions of Artists in Michigan Prisons, a project of the Prison Creative Arts Project, PCAP. She is an Arthur F. Thurnau Professor Emerita at the Stamp School of Art and Design at the University of Michigan, where she has won many awards for her art and social justice work with incarcerated people and children experiencing poverty. She lives in Ann Arbor, Michigan. Her book, Making Art in Prison, reveals through the eyes of the artists who have lived through it, what mass incarceration looks and feels like in the United States. It reveals the ways in which incarcerated individuals keep their humanity intact. It invites us to reflect on our own humanity and the problem of living in a country that incarcerates more of its population than any other nation in the world. It also invites us to look closely at the images and appreciate the richness of life and luminosity emerging from some of the darkest corners of our country. Welcome, Janie.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
Before we dig into your book, I'm eager to learn about your artistic beginnings. When did all that start?
I was a child. I mean, I drew constantly when I was a child. I danced, I played the piano. I always thought I was going to be an artist of some kind. I did some other forms of art pretty seriously, but in the end, I decided I'm not a performer. Visual art just was the deepest and the most natural thing for me. I majored in art in college and moved to New York to become an artist. So it was something I always thought I would do.
How did the performance and the visual art branch into social justice work?
Well, yeah, good question. I think it started when I was a child in the 50s and saw the photographs of Black children being denigrated by their classmates when they were integrating in the South, and talking to my parents about it, who were pretty socially active, and realizing that it was a real problem. And then when I was in high school in California, I belonged to a Quaker meeting that was very active in social justice issues. And it was during the civil rights movement. And I just felt very strongly about equality and justice and inclusion, and sought out communities like that. But it wasn't until I was much older that I got involved in the issue of incarceration. As a younger adult in New York, the work I did was partly as a teacher at Parsons School of Design, which is, you know, really, you know, yeah, art school. But the other things I did were to work at the Brooklyn Museum community programming in the education department, and also then a program called Studio in a School, which placed artists in poor neighborhoods and poor schools. So I was always involved in working in the art field with some kind of marginalized population.
In preparation for our visit, I read that you feel art is a way for the imprisoned to keep their humanity intact. Can you tell me how those incarcerated populations first spoke to you?
Well, it was through the Prison Creative Arts Project, which my husband founded in 1990 at the University of Michigan, once he started going into prisons and doing theater workshops. And he was very enthused about it, very committed to it. I moved to Michigan in 1995. In 92, I went as a guest artist to an art workshop in South Africa, where I became friends with people who had been imprisoned under apartheid, and had my whole focus on racism really kind of accentuated. So that when I came back, I did get interested in the whole issue of mass incarceration and how it's disproportionately Black and brown people who are in prison. And then I met Buzz, who was doing this work, and I joined with him, and I started doing art workshops in prisons, first at a men's facility and then in a women's facility. And I found that the work really spoke to me, both the artwork and the work of working with people, because it was so urgently needed. Then Buzz and I started this yearly annual exhibition where we started to go around the state of Michigan to collect art from incarcerated people. And the work was by and large so intense and so compelling, whatever skill level people had, whether they were beginners or advanced. that I really felt very connected and very interested in it. I love looking at art. Besides being an artist myself, I look at a lot of art. I'm inspired by a lot of art. And I found this work very compelling. And we continued. We curated this show for many years, and we're now starting our 28th annual exhibition. I continued to be fascinated by it. And really what propelled writing the book was the question I kept having in mind is, what makes this work so intense? Why is it so important to do for the incarcerated folks? And why is it so important for people on the outside to see it? There's a few reasons why the art is so compelling. One is that it's made from many urgent needs. First of all, let me say that the prison system, by and large, is designed to make people feel anonymous, to take away their sense of self. There's a lot of humiliation, degradation, boredom. It's a deadening situation. It's something that has to change in a country. There's a lot of brutality. Art, on the other hand, is a process of growth, process of curiosity, imagination, and constant positive activity. So there you have the opposites right there. And the people who choose to be artists in prison have to choose this path of freedom and liberty that they find in their own imaginative sphere in order to survive that brutality of prison. So the urgency to do it is more than just somebody who takes a class, you know, at a local community center because they want to paint pretty pictures. It's literally about saving their spirit and their soul. So that's where the intensity comes from. Another reason is that this is something that I thought about a lot and came to while writing the book. It has to do with creating meaning in one's life. In prison, you know, it's kind of a meaningless existence. There's nothing that gives your life meaning. But I do believe that creating meaning is a basic human need that we all, you know, and where people falter and where people may end up on a path that leads them to prison, maybe because they haven't found any meaning in their life. And that situation leads down destructive paths. So some of the basic, you know, ontological questions philosophically are, who am I? What do I do? And what gives my life meaning? So what happens with people who become artists is that they start to make art for one reason or another. And I'd like to address that also, why they start making art. And they find that what they're doing, to answer the question, what do I do? Instead of gambling and getting involved in violence, I'm making art. And then after a while, if they're successful, if they're selling work in the show and they're exhibiting work and their fellow imprisoned people recognize them as artists, their identity is now, I am an artist. And then the third question is, how do I create meaning? I create meaning in my work aesthetically. And I create meaning in my sense of self as an artist and somebody who is resilient enough to keep this up in a degrading situation.
Wow. That takes a lot of strength to be able to do that. I mean, you have to have that strength of spirit, but you also have to have something to work off of, someone, you know, inviting you to do that. For so many of us, we think, oh, this person did this bad thing. They go to jail or go to prison. Then you serve your time and you come back and you don't do it again. In my view, it seems like we're missing the rehabilitation piece of it. We're expecting to get different results by just housing people away from their families. And art is therapy. For me, it is. And so I can see why this would be helpful for them to work through other things, not just, you know, keep myself busy while I'm being housed. Does that make sense?
Yes, exactly. And I mean, one of the reasons we do this exhibit and why I made this book is to show people in the world who have that kind of uninformed view of prison, what's really going on in prisons and what the challenges are. And also a main goal is to have people in the outside world see imprisoned people as people, as human beings. The art does that. I mean, you can talk all you want about statistics, and I have some to tell, which are quite, you know, astounding. Like since 1973, our prison population has expanded 500%. And the United States is the most incarcerating nation in the world.
Why is that?
Well, there's a lot of reasons, and I'm not an expert, But I think it's because of our focus on punishment. Our focus on punishment has a long legacy that comes from Britain and Europe, European prisons, and from our own, I think, puritanical background and whatever it is in the United States that makes us so focused on punishment. So the idea of punishment doesn't really work. Our system is not as much worse than other industrialized nations in that we don't have less crime and we have more people in prison. I don't like to use the word rehabilitated. I prefer to talk about people growing and changing because I think that it's our system that needs to be rehabilitated. It's our culture that needs to be rehabilitated. If we had more community resources, better health systems, more jobs, more, you know, daycare, better education, we wouldn't have as many people in prison. But we have a large block of people in power who want the prison system to thrive, partly because it's profitable. There are a lot of companies and corporations that make money from prisons. Yep. And it's also partly because there's an ethos that people, you know, who commit a crime need to be punished. But there are other ways of dealing with people who transgress, like restorative justice, which is a system that looks at the person who transgressed and the victim and comes to a more meaningful kind of restitution. Because what happens is somebody commits a crime and they get thrown into prison. What good is it doing anybody?
When the person who's involved in your program comes out of prison, do you see this helping them making that transition back?
Absolutely. First of all, I want to mention that our program has something called the Linkage Program, which is that artists who we've known inside, when they come out, they contact us and they're part of a community that is supportive, that provides exhibition opportunities, opportunities to get together. It's a support system. But that's just us here in Southeast Michigan, although we have linkage members around the state. Generally, what we see is that people really gain in self-confidence and feel like they have a skill and they have something to offer the world. And just that difference as a human condition makes it easier for people to meet the incredible challenges that people coming out of prison face. Challenges to, you know, with a record, to get a job, to get housing, to have a car, to have enough money to have a car. All those basic needs to get your paperwork done. You know, I know people who just haven't been able to get their social security card or their driver's license because of red tape. So it's very hard. This sense of self, for one thing, really just helps people meet those challenges. I have a few of the artists who actually are now making a living as artists, not a lot, but a very few, or just having it as something that they're doing that is very meaningful and supportive. And it's also a link to other community members who are artists. It's a way to connect with people.
That's cool. You know, I know this is probably going to sound really silly when I say that I watched Orange is the New Black. I watched it a year ago. So it's not like I was watching it when it first came out. I binged it over a week's time because it was fascinating to me. Yeah. But it was also disheartening to see the way we fail at helping them reintegrate when they come out. Because, you know, like when you were saying that they come out with a sense of community, when you come out and you don't have that and you're going back into maybe the same unhealthy family situation, you can see how something like this is such a healthy way, not only to express themselves, but they have a sense of community. How did you come up with Making Art in Prison?
The book. So it grew out of these exhibitions. As I mentioned before, my husband and I were working on it for the first few years, pretty much alone with a few volunteers. It gradually gained steam over many years at the university. We gained support for staff and we got grants and it expanded. And it was a major part of both of our lives. I mean, we were so committed to it. And it was really, for me, interwoven with my own artistic practice. I felt that my own art was influenced by their art in some ways. So it became a big part of my life. And as I said, I had these questions. What is the art really doing for people? Why is the work so compelling? And sometime, you know, not that, maybe 10 years after we started, I thought, I really want to write about this. I really want to think about it. And then I thought, I should write a book. And then I thought, you know, if I write a book, it's going to take over my whole life. It's just going to be huge. I won't be able to do anything else. Some years went by, and then I just felt like, okay, I've got to write this book now. You know, it was so many years of doing it. I think I had become very close with some of the artists, and, you know, there'd been a lot of dialogue, and I knew that, I think my sense of the importance of all of this was growing. And in addition, I have to say that the world changed around us when we first started the shows. No one went in the public dialogue was talking about incarceration. I mean, the idea that a politician on TV would talk about anything having to do with prison and incarceration, yeah, unimaginable. Now everyone's talking about it, right? People right. are writing about it. I mean, it's a big topic. And so I felt my context changing around me, that there was more of a context for this book to exist in. And the thing that did it was that there was a fellowship here at the university, like many universities, has a Institute for the Humanities, where if you get a fellowship, you get a year off of teaching. I didn't mention before that I was a full professor teaching at the University of Michigan.
Busy.
In the art department, starting in 1996 and, you know, became a tenured professor, full professor. So that was my full-time job, as well as being a studio artist. And that's why I thought, okay, you know, if I do write this book, that's what I'm going to be doing. I applied for and got this fellowship, and I applied with the idea of, my proposal was to write this book, because I thought that I would get it, because I thought that nobody else was doing this. And I did get it. And there I was with a year off. That was 2013-14. So the whole process took about 10 years. I do want to say, too, the book was written very much in collaboration with some of the artists. I did interview about 30 artists in person. I sent out surveys. We had extensive correspondence. So it was a wonderful process.
Wow, can't wait to look at it. I have sent copies of my novels to prison libraries, and how can other artists get involved?
Well, that's a good question. There's a big coalition called the Justice Arts Coalition, mm-hmm. which anyone can look up. And it's a coalition of organizations, individuals in all states that do work like this, that okay. have programs, projects that link artists on the outside to artists inside. And I believe it exists in every state. I believe there are programs in every state. So I think one of the best resources is to go to that website and look up by state what's okay. happening in your state and see about joining or starting something new or just joining the community. There are more and more programs. I mean, I think our exhibition is probably the largest one, and it's kind of unique, and people will find out why and how if they read the book. There are a lot of innovative things going on. You know, we started just by contacting our corrections department and seeing if they were interested in having volunteers. And these days, I think a lot of corrections departments are looking for volunteers to come in and do a good programming. I think it's best to work as a volunteer personally rather than be on a staff, mm-hmm. which is very rare anyway, to be on a correctional staff, because prisons don't usually staff artists. But being a volunteer gives you a little bit of independence. And I do want to say that in Michigan, the Department of Corrections has been very amenable to our program. We've worked really well with them, and they see the value of it. And I can only imagine that in many states, corrections departments are seeing the value, because there is more and more of this going on.
What's next for you?
Well, right now, I'm getting great feedback about the book,
Yay.
Which is great. And what's next is going to be, you know, going on tour, doing readings and events, and relaxing.
There you go.
Having some time to relax, getting back into my studio practice more. And I'll see if I want to write, you know, see what happens. But in the immediate future, I foresee more relaxation, more studio work, and rumbling around of ideas. I do love writing and loved writing this book, and I may want to write more. We'll see.
Cool. Yeah, it's a bug that once it gets you, you can't really shake it. What's the legacy you would like to leave behind?
You know, it's one of the reasons I think I wrote the book, because I did want to leave a legacy behind. I want to put out into the world that it's there always. What were the philosophical underpinnings of what we did? And why did this work? So that's about the specific project. Mm-hmm. Because I think that's valuable. Beyond that, it's about helping people in the world, in our country, value incarcerated people and begin to think about different systems, different ways of doing things, and to rethink the artistic domains that exist in our culture, that it's not just a few special people that can make art. Because after all, most of these people were just ordinary citizens who didn't think about making art. And then they went to prison and they had to do something and they made art. And so I think it speaks to working towards having art in the schools, art being more validated in mm-hmm. our lives, that this kind of emphasis on creativity and growth should be more important than punishment.
Do you have any advice for anybody thinking about writing a book for the first time?
Well, it's interesting because, as I said, I didn't consider myself a writer before this, and now I do. So I'm not coming as an experienced writer who's written books all my life. But I think what worked for me and what I would advise, especially, you know, this is nonfiction, so I can't really talk about fiction, but maybe it applies to fiction, is to just not think of it as a linear process necessarily, to write down thoughts and images and feelings and to keep notes. For me, as a visual person, I put lots of notes up on my studio wall and rearrange them to not discard anything, to believe that marginal thoughts and little things might become important, because that's what I discovered, to be patient and to not push the structure of the book necessarily at the very beginning, unless you have some people with some projects know exactly what the structure is. With mine, I didn't at all. And the structure had to emerge out of all of my thinking. And I kept rearranging chapters and emphases and so forth. So you may be a person for whom the structure comes first and everything just fits there, that's fine. But if not, to be patient and to believe that the structure will emerge.
Thank you, Janie. This is wonderful work you're doing.
Thank you so much.
To learn more, visit janiepaul.com.
If you're enjoying The Writing Table, please consider leaving us a review. There are so many podcasts out there. Reviews help other listeners find us. Thanks so much for your support.